Jed, Lisa, and then Mark. So I'm just going to very quickly summarise those 3 weeks. And I would encourage anyone that's here today to get on our Carmel website and forward that link to anybody who's not here. Yeah? And they can get the previous 3 messages. Anyone that you look around and thinks they're not here and you've got their number. Because we need to encourage each other to pray. We need to encourage each other to look at the scriptures that I'm talking about. You know, we can go home, we can sit and listen, and we can have a look at what does God's word say. Because I can't cover every scripture I'm going to talk about this morning because it'll be 2 o'clock before you went home. So I can't do that. So listen to it again afterwards, but encourage people who are not here. So Jed covered on slide 2 the why. So to recap, it involved, I love the way that Jed puts things across. Communication, we get revelation, we receive confirmation, and we're inspired when we pray. And Jesus prayed, and it was his main communication with his Father. In quietness, in secret. And he did that because the people of the day, the religious people, we know I always call them the pretenders, their faith was external, and it was they were praying on a street corner, but they didn't have faith and they didn't really love God. They just liked keeping rules and they liked keeping people down. They were religious people who weren't living the life. But the real people were the ones that prayed in secret, and that's what we do. So we heard where Psalm 116 verse 2, where it said he bends down to listen to us. So the maker of heaven and earth, we sung this morning, the highest king welcomes me. Isn't that amazing? The highest king welcomes me and he wants to listen to me. Prayer is communicating with God. I've got a new grandson called Freddie. He's now 8 months old and he's starting to make noises. And there's a bit of chat at the moment about Freddie and he's trying to talk because he's going mum, and Dad wants him to go da 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 da. So all you hear all the time is me and his mummy going mum, and his dad going da 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 da. And then I explained to Jonathan that it's very hard for children to say da da da. So it doesn't matter how much he says it to him, it's not likely to be his first word. But we're excited as a family to hear what little Freddie's going to say, and once he starts speaking. It's lovely when we have a child, all of us that have experienced that, to listen to children. And our Father in heaven wants to listen to us, and he's excited about what we're going to say to him. We sometimes start with prayer. It's a few garbled words. I don't want you to worry about that. I don't want you to worry about garbled words and just a few words. Because in a while you'll have a really good vocabulary. It's only as you practice and open your mouth, you get more words. So don't worry about stopping and starting and feeling awkward. Everyone feels awkward at the beginning. We get bothered if we haven't prayed, and Jed covered that, and it was great. There's no condemnation with God. None. Obviously it's good if we get into a pattern, but it mustn't stop us from praying. Because we haven't. Just get on with it. When I was a child, I used to get taken to my grandma's. She lived in Horton Green in a little one-bedroom little flat. And my dad used to go, and we were very young. I would be about 9, 10. And we'd walk there, and we'd go some Sundays, but not regularly. And whenever we went there, my nana was little and round. She was like 4'11". And she just, to me, she looked like a round shape. She didn't really have a shape. She just was round and little. And she used to say to him, "Hello, stranger." And I used to watch my dad's face. He was always disappointed as soon as she said that. And I was only 9 or 10, but I knew as soon as my nana said, "Hello, stranger," that he was upset. He was a busy man. He worked 12-hour shifts, 5 days a week. He had a family. And he went to see his mum when he could, but when he got there, she went, "Hello, stranger." And God never says to us, "Hello, stranger." He never ever says that to us, ever. We never have to feel that we're going to disappoint him when we come to him, because you won't. And that's lovely. You've got that love that is, that love and grace, it doesn't matter what you do, he's always ready for you. Isn't that brilliant? He's never going to say, "Hey, stranger." Psalm 84, Jed reminded us, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. If you're looking for him, you'll find him. Simply draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I remember the very first prayer I prayed as a young person, not knowing God at all. I didn't know about God, never been in church, didn't have a relationship with God, knew nothing about him. I know I used to say the Lord's Prayer when I was little, before I went to sleep, because I knew that. But I was 13, 14, very angry. Felt I'd been let down by everybody that I knew and loved me. And I said this prayer, and I said, "God, life is rubbish. If you're real, make yourself known to me." Within 8 weeks, I was here. And wow, did God make himself known to me. It was Linda that brought me. Wow, did God make himself known to me. And I've never looked back. I am not the person now I would have been. 100%. I would have been broken. I would have probably had lots of relationships. And I would have always been looking for someone to love me. But in God, God restored me. I want to tell you this morning, if you're in a mess, the best restorer is God. The best restorer. And he won't keep telling you what you've done wrong. Isn't that brilliant? My prayer was very short and direct. Sometimes I've had people in here, you know, they stand over somebody and 10 minutes later they stop. I'm sorry, but it's not about that. God, heal that person. Done. Why do we think we've got to say these long, long prayers? Because it puts some of you off. You've heard me say that before. Matthew 5 says, "Seek, knock, and door will be opened." We are to persist in asking and knocking, and that's what Jed was talking about. And Jed said that God is all-knowing, powerful, and everywhere. So you don't have to explain anything. He changes situations. He knows your thoughts, and our thoughts are not like his. I'm really glad about that. We apply logic to situations. We look at situations, and before we've even opened our mouths, we go, "That's a mess. How can God sort that out?" That's why we need God, because God puts his thoughts in us. So we don't look at situations and think there's no hope here. And that's why God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. And I'm really glad about that, because there's some things I would have never prayed for if I'd used my own thoughts, because I'd have written them off. I wouldn't have prayed. I wrote down this morning, because I read through my notes, I wrote down, this was new. Put a pair of prayer glasses on. Ask God for a pair of prayer glasses. Put glasses on that see something different. Put your prayer glasses on. Then the next one was Lisa, and she said about why. God is interested in every aspect of your life. And one of my favourite scriptures. So here's what I want you to do. God help. Sorry, this is Matt. It is Lisa. This is what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that's Romans 12, verse 2. And it's one of our favourite. Lisa talked about how and about a constant conversation. I love that when she said that. She doesn't use the word prayer often. She used constant conversation, not a monologue. I thought that was great. It's a dialogue, a conversation going both ways. Listening. Communication. Prayer is a link between us and God. Lisa talked about the Lord's Prayer. Some of you know that prayer. Some of you, it might be the only prayer you know. Not having our own independence, but developing dependence on God. We we discussed the fact that in this current culture we've got, and self-dependence is encouraged all the time, and people less and less are looking to be dependent on God. And I get that, that's the culture we're in, but we have to be dependent on God. Because when we're dependent on God, it focuses on the heavenly realm. It focuses us on forgiveness and guidance and all the things that Lisa spoke about in the Lord's Prayer, and not to be tempted. We've got a culture that says grass is greener on the other side, and it's not. We've got a culture that says you can have everything and you can't. Matthew 6, verse 6. Again, it's about the religious people who stood outside praying. Sitting in peace is good for us. I find it difficult, believe it or not, to sit down quietly. I do. I'm not that sort of person that sits down quietly too much. And I do find it difficult, but when I do, there's a kind of very deep connection. And like the disciples, you know, when Jesus prayed, the disciples were somewhere else and they fell asleep. I can't tell you the number of times I've fell asleep praying. Because I become quiet, I become still, I become relaxed, and then suddenly I wake up. But for the times that I don't fall asleep, I get this lovely sense of being still in my soul, deep, deep within, and kind of a settledness that is not there at any other time. I'd encourage you to sit and pray. Lisa encouraged her to talk to him all the time. Knowing God, God will answer, creates a daily connection, and that's what she was talking about. And God stirs praise and generates love and the correct focus. We need a focus, because if not, we're all over the place. And thankfully, our prayers are not just answered while we're sat. I loved this when I read it the other week and I spoke about it, but they're answered when we're not praying. So when you're not praying, the prayers you've prayed are being answered. Lisa talked about talking to God all the time. When we don't know what to pray, we ask God how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. You can have situations where you can't pray. You can have situations where they're just so difficult that maybe sometimes you can't open your mouth, but God knows, and that's okay. But the Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. If we wait to have the right words, you'll never pray. You won't. It's just like we've said before, if you wait to be perfect in church, you'll never be here. You have to come as you are. Another thing that helps us with our prayer life is worshipping God. So I've got an Alexa at home. I know some people have got views about Alexa, but just put that to one side. I'll put my lights on and off with Alexa. It's quite fun. I like doing that. But Alexa, I say, I have to watch my phone, don't come on in a minute and start sing praise and worship. I say to Alexa, play praise and worship on Amazon Music. And I get this great playlist. Songs that I haven't got on a CD or whatever, or I can be in the car, or I can be anywhere, and I love it. I love listening to praise and worship. And out of that praise and worship, quite often flows prayer. You know that I'm very sort of, in my mind, I'm sort of very picture focused, and sometimes I get little images of you. I know that's scary. I might see Linda Thorpe, and I go, Lord, bless Linda today. Might see someone else and I go, bless them today, God. So, you know, sometimes you're being prayed for and you haven't even got a clue. I'm praying for you. But it's good to worship. God wants us to be close to him. We've just heard that. We are to trust him. Prayer is asking and trusting. Sometimes when the most personal things that we can't discuss with somebody else, there's some stuff I pray about that I do not discuss verbally with anyone else. It's a private conversation between me and God. I brought this. I wasn't sure I was going to use it, but I will. So some of you, this represents all the rubbish that you've got on your back, in your life, whatever. Stuff that's private, stuff that nobody knows about, stuff you're struggling with. That might be an addiction, it might be other stuff. And what God wants you to do in prayer is leave it there, walk away, and give it to God. Mark's word was, what? What to pray for? I've just showed you what to pray for some of you. John 17, there's quite a lot in John 17. I really would encourage you to read that, the whole lot. But Mark said something that I found really interesting and something I really find difficult to do. He said, pray for yourselves. I'm not very good at praying for myself. I'm very outward focused, but I was thinking more about it and thought, you know, that's brilliant, that, yeah. We've got to pray for ourselves. The rescuer can't rescue someone unless they are fit enough to pick that person up. If they're in the water, it might be that you've got to rescue somebody out of water or rescue someone in a fire. You know, you don't want some clapped out fireman, do you? You can't get you out of a fire, do you? You don't want somebody who's coming up the stairs huffing and puffing and can't carry you. Well, they won't be able to carry me anyway. They have to drag me out. But what I'm saying is, I'm making light of it just to make sure you're awake. But what I am saying is that we have to be right when we're praying and stuff and we're doing things. We have to pray for ourselves. Pray for our needs. We talk a lot about the heart, and the heart was used a lot. When I listened to the recordings, we used the word heart a lot, and I thought, I'm just going to explain what that is for people who are newer. What does heart mean? Emotions. Heart is your mind. Heart is your thoughts. And that's because your actions come out your thoughts. Your conversations come out your thoughts. Everything you do and say comes out your thoughts. When people have got problems, I like a lot of crime, me. I like watching a lot of crime stuff. I like watching DNA stuff, and I like watching how they catch people. I like watching where you've got to think about things. And quite often people have had a pattern of behaviour that they've not corrected, and it shows itself, it escalates. And it's something that you see quite a lot, that an escalation in behaviour. And I'm saying that because it's very important what our thoughts are. It's very important what we think. It's very important what we pray about. And our heart and our emotions are very important. That's why Romans 12 verse 2 is such a great scripture. The renewing of our mind. Giving ourselves to God, Mark talked about. And he gives freedom in prayer for the temporary life here on earth. Because everything is given to his loving care. There are seasons in prayer. I don't want you to despair. But there are. Sometimes, you know, you can have a great prayer life sometimes. You're really going for it. And other times, it's not as good. And I want you to be okay with that. Because sometimes we get a little bit upset if we hit a period that's not as good. But there are seasons just in life, and there's seasons in prayer. Mark shared this scripture, which I love, Thessalonians 5, verse 11, and encourage us to pray all the time. Don't stop. Prayer keeps you spiritually strong. And I would encourage you to include it in every situation. Thankful for what you have and asking when you need to. You see, we might not have a need, but we can give thanks for what we've got. So I'm thinking maybe in family members, you know, we don't always have to go to God when everything's in crisis. We thank God for the relationships that we've got with family, brothers, sisters. We can thank God for those. So what I'm saying is, when we're not praying for them, we can give thanks for them. Thank God for your children, for your grandchildren, for your parents. Mark talked James 4. and Matthew 7, ask and believe. He talked about motives. Is what you are praying for what God wants? Because he talked about what he used to ask for when he was a boy, for gifts and things. Well, I want to say, I think we overcomplicate this as Christians. So I'm going to give you some guidance. Be specific. Ask that your family have a relationship with God. I pray that often. Individually name them. Pray for them. Pray that they've got peace and happiness. Pray for their relationships, for their children. Pray that the love of God is shown through you to them, practically, spiritually, in every way. Just let love be there in all relationships, that they grow. And the old-fashioned word is that they prosper, that they do well. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Do you know you're a disciple if you follow Jesus? You're a disciple. People who are living a life like him. Ephesians 3 verse 16, this was the scripture that Mark finished with, and I want to spend a bit more time in this. Because the scripture was, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure the fullness of God. And Paul said this to the Ephesian church because this is what the people in the church needed. And the church was struggling. And it's this prayer that's still needed today for all of us. So I'm just going to now just summarise sort of where the last few bits now on prayer. So I'm going to say to you, pray for the church that we grow in number. Pray that we have labourers. Pray that we have more people who can sing. Pray that we have more people who can play music and lead worship. Matthew 9, so that we're not limited. That Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, the labourers are few, it says. We don't want to be limited here to what we can physically do. We don't. If you do a work in the church and outside, if you can't help in the cafe like me, I can't help in the cafe. I pray for it. I pray for Sarah. I pray about the conversations that take place. I pray that people who come to the cafe feel God's presence, that they come into church. Meet someone at the cafe. Support it physically. We're not a community centre. We are more than that. We are spiritually connected to God here. Our Father is Lord of the harvest. Jesus asked his disciples to pray for this. He was moved with compassion when he saw the harvest, and he looked, and there weren't many people who were, the workers were few. If our prayers, when we pray, he will supply what is needed. Prayer's not selfish. Sometimes we think it could be selfish, but it's not. If you're struggling to see the wider picture, ask God to give you some compassion. You'll see things differently. It's our jobs as Christians to pray for the advancement of the kingdom, to pray that the Holy Spirit is working here. God is working in this place, and that the strongholds are broken, that lives, that people come in, addiction, things of the past, sickness, hurts are healed, and that our young people find God's plan for their lives. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of our young people who normally sit on this left-hand side. So young people, have a listen, right? This is what I'm praying for you. I've got a little one that's crying. I'm praying that God finds you the right openings in college, the right results, that you get the jobs where you need to be. Because when you're in those jobs, you're going to have access to people that none of us will. And I'm praying for you, and I pray for you regularly. Okay? And that you're successful in everything that you do. Okay? And that's what we can pray for, can't we? Wider church. That our young people find their place. It's our responsibility to pray for our land. And that includes our leaders, political leaders, the king of the country. And you know, you might have, I'm not going to say anything political, you might have opinions about what's going on. Regardless of that, you have to pray for them. It's biblical that we pray for our leaders. It's our responsibility to pray for our land. Chronicles 7, we know the scripture well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I want that. The biggest lie of the enemy of our soul is to say that nothing will change. And that's why I'm saying to you, you can't look at stuff with your natural eyes. The biggest lie of the enemy is nothing will change, and that's not true. It also means that God isn't big enough, and I don't believe that. God is the creator of the universe. He's all-powerful, and he's waiting for us to ask him. Now, we've talked about this a few times as leaders, and one of the stories that we've talked about is when the blind man come to Jesus. And, you know, I'm not being funny, but if... You know, if we had somebody here who was blind and Mark was at the front and Mark said, what do you want? I'd be thinking, why are you asking that? But Jesus asked, and do you know why he asked? Because he wanted the person to say what they wanted. We heard before that when we come to God and we ask him and we're in that place where there's just us and him, there's something different about that conversation that you will have with God, your maker, that you won't have with anyone else, because you're aware very much of who he is. And that's why Jesus wants us to articulate what we want. That's why God wants to listen to our prayers. He wants us to articulate it because it changes us inside, and particularly if we say it out loud. It's like a humility. There's a humility in it. It's a recognition of who he is, and it changes us. Things that I've learned over the last year while I've been studying prayer. I'm going to say something here that might be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. Sometimes I think we settle for prayer without the answer. I'm going to say that again and I'll explain why. Sometimes I think we pray, and if we don't get the answer, we don't persist in it, we don't carry on praying, there's a point where we stop. And I want to say to you as a Christian, don't stop. Don't say a prayer, and then after a few months, don't pray it anymore, because that means you've stopped praying it. It means you've stopped believing it's going to happen. And actually, you're almost giving up on it. And I want to say to you as a Christian, if you've prayed for something and you've not seen it yet, you carry on praying till you see it. You've got to carry on praying till you see it. It's called persistent prayer. It's specific. There's power in it. We're to continue until we get the answer. We've got to be bolder Christians. We've got to be bolder. Our Father's a good Father. Those of you that are fathers here, a good Father, a child doesn't ask for something and you give it. It says in the Bible, a snake or a stone. When you're a good Father, you give your child what they ask for. Our God's a good Father. Matthew 7 said, if we ask for bread, we won't get a stone or a snake. He gives good gifts. There was 3 R's that I used the other week, and I've come back to it. Request. The man who was blind asked to be healed. That was his request. Refusal. Do not accept anything less. Reward. You will get your answer. Healing. Or whatever else you've asked for. I'm going to give one sort of caveat to that. It may not be the answer you expected, but you will get an answer. The prayers of God's people are powerful. It's by prayer that the church on earth has a disposal of the powers of the heavenly realm. I'm going to say that again because it's a bit to get your head round. The prayer of God's people are powerful. It's by prayer that the church on earth has a disposal of the powers of the heavenly world. If you're living a loving life, then your prayers are going to be answered. I want to tell you that's a promise. If you're living a loving life, your prayers will be answered. If you're living a righteous life, your prayers will be answered. Well, somebody might say to me now, right, Sue, I'm not living a righteous life. I'm in a bit of a mess. Well, what I'd say to you is, you say to God, I'm not living right. God, forgive me. And help me now with all these other things that I've got to deal with. It doesn't preclude you from what I've just said. I want to make that clear. Otherwise, none of us would be here, would we? Father and Son had a complete relationship. We are continuing the same relationship by asking and receiving. The Son's role was mediator and to be our intercessor to pray on behalf of you, me, and others. Through him, we have access to the Father. He continues to be the intercessor and prays for us. We are his body and we participate in this work. Hebrews 7 verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercession. I got a phone call last night at 10 o'clock. Answered my phone and it's a lady that I know, that I meet most mornings on my dog walk. You know, I walk my dog. I've not spoke to her about church. I've not told her my story. I've not done anything. I've not Bible bashed her. I've not done nothing. She knows I come to church. But I've not said anything. She phoned me and she said, Sue, I knew that if I phoned you tonight, you would pray. Great. A granddaughter's little baby's heart stopped in an ambulance on the way to Tameside Hospital. She had a fit in the middle of KFC. She's only 12 months old. And she phoned me. So straight away, I just said to her, I'm going to ask you something now, which is bold for me. So Christians get bold because this is not normal for me. I said, would you mind if I prayed for you over the phone and your family? And she went, no, please do. And I prayed for her over the phone. And I prayed for baby. I know the baby's name and everything. And this morning, they were going to take her to Alder Hey last night. She's not gone to Alder Hey. And they put her in an induced coma overnight. And she was wired up to everything. And this morning, she's on the children's ward. And she's doing good. She's got some sort of infection or virus. But last night was very, very serious. But, you know, prayer is amazing. It's amazing. God can do amazing things. I woke up this morning, and this is the phrase I woke up with, and I ran downstairs quick to write it down because my memory's not getting, you know, not fab. So I run down in my pyjamas. Prayers not prayed can't make a difference. No, it's not a scripture, but I want to say to you, prayers not prayed can't make a difference. Prayer is the key to situations being changed. Last week I had a picture while I was in here, and it was that prayer was the key to opening doors. Not to an empty room, but to a room where you see all the things that God's done. You see, when you see an empty room, sometimes you can see potential. Sometimes people look at an empty room and they can't see potential, can they? Like when you go and look at a house or something. But some people, I can always see potential in something that's empty. But when you see it dressed, you know, when these houses are all staged, when you see it, it's like, oh, wow. And I want to tell you, prayer is the key to that wow factor. You open that door and you'll see all the things that you've prayed for, that you need to pray for. Prayer is the potential for change. Prayer is putting God in. One of my sayings always when I was bringing Jonathan up was, put God in. Every situation, put God in. What souls are entrusted to you to pray for? What are you putting God in? Who are you close to? What souls are you entrusted with? Who are you praying for in the gap? Who are you praying for that can't pray for themselves? Who are you bringing before God? Intercessing, that is. Who are you bringing before God and praying for? Some time ago, I had a family situation, and it was a Saturday night. I was on my own at home, and I'd been praying, and I was talking to God about this situation, and I'd got music on. And this time, I don't normally do this. I don't put the telly on a lot when I'm on my own. I put YouTube on, and I put just praise and worship on, and it was kind of, again, a playlist. And I'd done my praying, and I was kind of walking from one room to the other, and I was listening to stuff, and I was doing jobs and pottering. And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was this video being played. I can't remember the song, because I tried to find it this morning. I can't remember what the song was. But I'm going to explain what I saw in the video, because it was really important. It showed a couple with a child. So it showed you going up to the house and the door opened. It showed a couple with a child rowing in front of this child. And there was distress and upset in the situation, and it was very visible. And it showed things potentially being thrown and broken, voices raised, obvious tensions and arguments. And then, it rewound. Then it showed a person outside the house going like this. Then it showed them walk into the house. And it showed them, as the person entered the house, the situation was completely different. The video was so powerful. And it was because the person had prayed. They walked in and the family were sitting down to a meal and they were talking. And it was like there was peace in the house. And as I'd been praying and I was, you know, I'd been kind of doing this for a bit. And I said, God, that's what I want in this situation. And when I was sort of thinking about it, I thought, this is what I've got to do. Every time I go to this person's house, not physically, not standing outside like this outside, you know, with all the neighbours and it, not mean that, but when I stand outside, just stand there and go, God, before I enter this house, I pray for this family and this situation, before I go in and go in the house. It really was a visual thing of, God, before I go in, I'm going to commit this family to you. And, you know, when I go to this house, I will stand outside before I go in and pray for this family. And it was really good because it thought it makes such a difference. It really pulled me up. I thought, yeah, me going to that house and praying before I enter will make a difference, God. Me keep talking to you about this situation will make a difference. It was so powerful. And when you do it, it'll be all because you prayed and all because I prayed. Right, I'm right near the end now. Jesus reminded us, John 14, verse 12 to 14, greater works will we do because he goes to the Father. As we pray not with our own authority but his. You know, things don't happen because Sue Moore's. It's got nothing to do with that. Things happen because I stand in God's authority. I pray that prayer. I'm open to the heavenly realm to ask God to change a situation here on earth, and God does it. And it's because I stand in his authority, not mine. We are appointed to bear fruit. Ask in my name and I will give it to you. So to bear fruit in our lives, our families, for others inside church, outside church and beyond. So just to finish, God wants us to have regular answers to prayer. When prayers are answered, they bring glory to God. God wants us to have the understanding that his will, that he is our rock on which we stand. Have our prayers spoken and have the assurance of an answer. John 5, verse 14 and 15. I hope I've given you some things to think about. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a song. And what I want to do this morning is I want to give you an opportunity that if you want prayer to come out, you know, if anything that I've said this morning's resonated with you, Christian, if you need a shake up of your spirit, of your prayer life, come out. We'll pray for you. There's nothing wrong in coming out to the front. There's nothing wrong in asking God. There's nothing wrong in being prayed for. You might get more than what you thought if you come out. Okay. And I just want you just to think that, and physically, if there's anything physically, I'm going to ask to be prayed for today because I'm having a few problems with my eyes. So I'm going to ask the elders to pray. It's not easy for me to even say that in front of you because I don't often ask for prayer for myself, but I'm going to ask for prayer today. So anything at all this morning, don't let it be a barrier. God can change things when we pray, and things don't change if we don't pray. Okay. Could you play that song for me, please? The last song, and we're just going to pray together. Just come out, and if you're not coming out, just enjoy these words.